jumped right into this show 7 minutes off of a brutal workout, so you're going to have to listen to me talk about that for 4 minutes. But then we give you some great options on what you could do today for exercise to make your own self hurt. This was the longest 5-10-5 show we've done. We talk a lot about the psychology of doing hard things and how a Division I program is set up to make you prepared in the tough moments, not just in football games, but in life. Let's have a day. Let's go. There's a greater than zero chance that I get sick on air.
What'd you have going on this morning?
Just the little something DeMarco cooked up, you know?
Ooh.
Just cooking.
Spicy.
Echo bike.
Ooh.
Rower.
Ooh. Was it the
pain?
10 calorie type deal every minute, different piece of equipment?
No. The Echo Bike always seems to be the piece that does it to me. It's like the Prowler back at Iowa.
Yeah.
It's like for some reason, something about the way you exert yourself on certain pieces of equipment. And man, it was every 10 minutes. So you have a 10-minute window.
Yeah.
Four times.
Okay.
20, 15, 10 calories, switching back and forth between the Echo Bike and the rower. So 20 on the Echo, 20 on the rower. 15 echo, 15 rower, 10 echo, 10 rower. Total of, how many is that? 45 calories each. And you're supposed to do it as fast as you can. Goal was under 5 minutes for each set of 10. And then however fast you do it, you get to rest until the 10-minute mark. And you do it again. Goal would be to I don't think goal is negative split because of the fatigue. But goal is to keep it like pretty close. I did it in 429, 439, 444, 442.
Oh.
And I haven't felt the waste product from exercise.
Yeah.
I was like, God, I gotta get myself up off the gym floor immediately, get in the shower. And I sat in the shower because I'm rich. And in our new house, we have a bench in our shower.
There you go.
Because I'm loaded. Podcaster money. And as I sat there for just 15 seconds, I could feel a pain in my legs because the blood was getting cut off and it couldn't return back to my heart and pump out the dude. It was bad. Since Iowa, I've only thrown up from a workout one time and it was an Echo Bike workout. And today we came real close.
Echo bikes are nasty, folks. There's nothing like it. A regular assault bike is nothing like the Rogue Echo.
It's just bad. Do you do a lot of biking workouts at all?
Oh yeah, I have one. I did it yesterday. 500 kcal in as little time as possible.
Oh,
I got 38. Yesterday was 38.50.
Ooh, 38. I've seen some beasts on the 500 cal for time come in and around 30 minutes.
And again, for me, I just keep the, that's my zone two stuff. And the last 2 minutes isn't.
Yeah.
But I can truly keep the cadence around 63, 64 for, 34 minutes. And then it's all right, time to kind of finish this thing off. We're not going. But that used to be the punishment at Towson. That's why, that's what I came up with. So if somebody missed
500 cals.
Listen, 500 kcal. I couldn't use exercise as punishment. All right. I'm living in Maryland. It happened at the time of the Jordan McNair death, right?
Mm.
Now, they didn't use exercise as punishment, but they're coming off the heels of some kid died while doing exercise.
Yeah.
So, I'm not punishing you with exercise. You were late. I am modifying your training as a result of you not being on time. Echo Bike is a total body exercise. Your whole team is going to spend about 500 calories when they train. Mm. It's going to take you some time. So there you go.
Five. Oh, man. That's
because we had to deal with that a little bit more. I had to have that because I knew at Iowa, it was oh my God, what happened? Somebody missed. That never happened. you have to, you kind of have to know that as a strength coach, like how you're going to apply those.
It happened. It happened occasionally.
Not often, but it happened.
You're saying at Towson, people missed more?
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. We had kids that just, they would miss more. It didn't happen all the time, but it did happen, and I had to be prepared for it, and we went with that.
Oh, boy. So there's your workout, everybody.
Go do 500 kcal on the bike. The goal would be to get at least 10 kcal a minute. So it should take you no longer than 50 minutes if you're just kind of chilling. But, you know, push it and get below 40. And if you really want to vomit, go do your max cal minute.
Not good. Not good. 50 cals for time is a good one. A minute two, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. I've done it in.
That's impressive.
Cole Fisher and I did a CrossFit competition back in, people are listening to this show. They're like, why are we talking about Kluver's workout today? And now we're going back to a CrossFit competition. I don't care. It's my podcast and it's exercise and strength conditioning related. Cole and I did a CrossFit competition, and one of the programmed workouts was you had 3 minutes to do 100 calories on the assault bike between the two of you.
Oh,
so you could
get off.
So big boys, we were the biggest in the competition certainly as a pair.
Yeah.
So we went 25, 25, 25, 25 and just burn it down.
Yeah.
We got a minute, 31 seconds.
Holy cow.
For 100 calories on the assault bike. You, at the 3 minute mark, you got to rest 2 minutes, and there was a part two of the workout where then you start loading a bar and you did your max complex of a 3 rep hang clean, 2 front squat, 1 jerk. And we won that one too. And the highest lift and the fastest time for those two workouts were, you got like an extra $100 bonus for the competition. So we took home both of those. It was great. The bike is if there was one thing that you could buy, I think a Salt bike is like $600 or $700. An Echo bike's like $800. Bang for your buck in that right there. Just get one of those and you can be drastically fit with some burpees, push-ups, air squats, lunges.
Just pair it with it. Cause that's the thing, is you could go 10 seconds on, 20 seconds off. You can do any of the different interval stuff you want on it. You can do the steady state. You can do 5 kcal on the bike, any kcal number followed by movement. So like, we're on the bike, 10 kcal, do some push-ups, get on the bike, do some squats, you know, and just
obliterate
yourself that way.
Yeah, I've had this idea that it would never happen because there's just not enough equipment. But in like this perfect magical world where like Iowa could roll out, like you guys could roll out 100 assault bikes to the practice field.
No, I know nobody wants to hear this, but Iowa State had like 40 of them.
Really?
They had four. Like, so you, there, some programs do, like, and they'll, cause they'll go a ton of like during the GPP phase or if they're in season, like, cause that the Echo bike is how I would condition the kickers in season at Towson.
I think Echo bike is air bike. I don't know what we even had at Iowa. Cause I never
I can't stand the bikes and they still have them.
Were they Air Dynes?
No, they were Kaisers, but they were an upper body, lower body, but they were, the pressure with them was just, I can't stand those bikes. And I'm pretty sure they're still there. Cause like I saw Greg last year post a picture of like, you know how every Thursday on an away game, they show. Yeah. And I saw those bikes and I was like, gosh, darn it. What are we doing? Like,
those bike, either Echo or Assault, those are kind of the two top ones in like the fitness space. I think those are underutilized. At least they were at Iowa as far as conditioning goes. Like we got into those GPP phases. I think about like right after winter when we'd come back in the spring and the first 2 weeks were just GPP. Or just like, yeah, that was when we did it, right? Or sometimes we even did it during bowl prep sometimes too, I think.
GPP during that, GPP during a little bit in the summer. Like we could have done less GPP in the summer, in my opinion.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. GPP standing for general physical preparedness, trying to.
But like you don't need to do that as much in the summer, especially with you older guys. Like there's no point. Like you've retained your strength. Like you were only gone for 2 weeks.
I always thought though, especially once I got into CrossFit stuff, a lot of the Metcons, the WADs, I thought a lot of that like translated into like, oh, the stuff you could create to be just a little bit more football specific, but you could make it very structured, like a cross, like everybody hops on 10 cal sprint on the bike, get off, carry a sandbag. Like we did some sandbag stuff. We occasionally
the prowler sandbag, farmer carry. Yeah. Or the battle, like the battle ropes. I can't stand like we got to get, but they're very poor.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on battle ropes.
Cause the battle ropes, like, I mean, it's again, they're better than nothing. Like, so like you have them to be a better than nothing tool for somebody that has a lower body injury. Like, you know, so if you're in season right now and you're doing a return to play, I don't know if the Hawks have any injuries, but let's say somebody like last year, if Lachey or Cade couldn't practice and they're not doing, it's like, all right, you can sit down, you can swing these ropes and you're going to get some aerobic effect and it's better than nothing. But like, as just a general modality, like it's cool to have, but like, my goodness, they're less expensive, but like I would just have a budget. So like get more of those bikes, you know what I mean? Like get something that's going to drive the needle more.
Yeah. And I will say, like, there's a way to make the ropes hurt bad, but true. I don't know if other than like the adaptation mentally of like doing hard things, like this is a hard thing. I have to push myself for this interval of time of this aerobic conditioning work as muscle fatigue too in the upper body. I don't know if there's a lot of transfer there to football. Whereas like, man, a bike, you're just put like it's everything. It's you're driving with the lower body, you're driving with the upper body. It almost like with the alternating arms, you're almost like working like a linebacker would, like, or a lineman trying to move. Like there's a little bit of transfer there. And the ropes, you could also like, and not to give up the secrets, but I could make it look like I was going a lot harder.
Exactly. Like that's the thing, is there like, it's just, I don't know. And nothing's worse than the slide boards, though. Those things were the worst. Couldn't stand doing those things. Like, what are we doing? Come on. Come on.
I'll list in the show notes. Maybe I'll even link to like some videos. And we're just dropping all the stuff we used to do for conditioning. And if you guys don't understand or don't know what any of these things are, I'll put it in the YouTube video description of it. I'll just post a bunch of links and you can see all the types of stuff we were doing. Where did the slide boards even come from? Who like
it came from Mike Boyle, because Mike Boyle was Doyle's strength coach back in the day. And Boyle worked with a lot of hockey players. So like it, in theory, you know, it does work for abduction, adductors, but like to only do it to also like compare it or add it in a phase, like that could be a good low day, you know, conditioning session, but it's not a hard enough thing to add on at the end of a high day. And again, like you could pair or put those in a lift as like a dynamic effort, abduction, or like it doesn't have to just be a conditioning tool. And like, those are the worst too, cause like they're hard to get adjusted to. And like, Lord forbid, if you, Tyler Kluver, or somebody fell and I was standing near that slide board, I'm getting yelled at. And it's just like, yep. Uh-huh. This is fun.
You can't, for anybody out there, you want to do your own conditioning stuff. Don't pick a modality of conditioning that requires more focus on the skill side of it, because if you don't have the skill to do something, you can't ramp the intensity.
And therefore you're not getting the conditioning.
So you're not conditioning from it. If you don't have the baseline skill to do something, you cannot turn the dial of intensity up to where you're now aerobically conditioning yourself in that movement. And these slide boards were like, all right, twice a year, we're going to bust out these socks that are slippery and we're going to put fucking bear grease on these 2x10 whiteboards, and you're going to go lateral slides back and forth, and we're going to look like a bunch of fucking baby deer out on a frozen pond. And then if you fall, you get yelled at like you're in a concentration camp.
Like you didn't care. Like you're not trying. Like what?
It's like, buddy, I am doing my best.
I am dialed in. I got this damn thing around my ankles, the sidewinder. Oh, yeah. Oh,
by the way.
And those things would, you remember how often those things would snap?
Yeah.
So, like, the whole time, all we're worried about is how do we fix these damn sidewinders?
Unbelievable. It's actually wildly, that is wildly, I wish I could go back. That's one of those things.
Same.
I wish I could go back. And I love Coach Doyle. and everything that he's, you know, part of this morning, me, you know, at 30 years old now, doing a workout. It's actually funny. Got the garage open and I live in this cul-de-sac. There's a ton of kids in my neighborhood and I don't remember what movie it is, but there's some movie that has like, maybe it's Monsters, Inc. or something, or it's some movie where there's like a character who is not human and he's like in a human world and he's like doing a bunch of things and a kid walks by and he's just got like this lollipop in his mouth and he's like walking to school and he's looking and he's like, that was a kid walking to school this morning. I'm on the Echo bike and I'm talking to myself and I'm breathing hard. And I'm going, oh, fuck. Just going back and forth. And I look over and there's a kid standing in my driveway looking at me with his backpack on. And I'm like, oh, this kid has no idea. This kid is so confused right now. Like, why is somebody working out this hard at 7:45 in the morning? Anyway, I wish I could go back. And just like as an older guy who had gained a little respect, a little bit of leeway with like being able to say something, I wish I could have just looked at Doyle after a slide board session and been like, pretty fucking stupid, huh?
He would have killed you.
I know. But like, hey, coach, dumb conditioning though, right? Like, not good. And I wouldn't have done that because it was 22-year-old Tyler and I'm 30-year-old Tyler now. I would definitely tell him that it was stupid now. But there's just a couple things like that. I don't know. Good 15 minutes to open up the show. Love that. Somebody left this comment. And by the way, if you have questions or on the YouTube or you're listening, you're like, oh, this we have a lot of like people that enjoy this niche strength conditioning side of things. Somebody, I know we were talking about some recovery metrics, some recovery things, how we measure that, how it, we talked about sort of the qualitative measures of recovery, like how guys are feeling, how, you know, what their language is like, what their energy is like in the thing, in the complex, you know, the next day or after a game or whatever. Somebody said in the next 5-10-5 episode, could you guys go into the breakdown of the metrics and methods used to track people's recovery? Does the team wear stuff like fancy wearables like watches, Whoop, Fitbit, Garmin? Do the players independently track their own numbers and report them to the training staff? Not that a player would want to, but is there potential for a guy to fudge his numbers? Love this component of the show. Wish it was 90 minutes instead of 30 minutes.
Wow. Appreciate you, whoever said that.
Yeah.
So I'll start off with the, like, players can, I'm going to talk about what I experienced at Iowa, and they might've changed it, updated it a little bit back in the day. The players had something called iThlete, and iThlete would measure your heart rate variability. Heart rate variability is your heart doesn't beat like over 60 or whatever it is. It's not consistent like beats per minute, like your music. There's variability across that minute when your heart is beating. And what heart rate variability is doing is measuring the differences in your heart rate across that minute. And the more consistent it is with less variability, the more recovered you are. And the more recovered you are, the higher your individual score would be. So to measure that, we would use an app called iThlete. And the players would do a finger sensor, kind of like when you go to the doctor and they do your oxidative test and they put the little thing on your finger. Kids would be able to put something that would go on their index finger. It would take their pulse. You'd have to sit quietly for a minute. And we would be able to see how recovered they are. They would do it first thing in the morning when they got up. Eventually the app got better and it was a heart rate strap. Mm-hmm. Nowadays you could utilize either your Aura ring, just wear around all the time. I know that's what we were looking at doing at Towson. I'm sure they have the possibility of doing it there. What then happens is that information, the player hits send and it goes up to the cloud. And now the coach is able to see the entire team's data. And back in the day, like Ray had the offense, I had the defense, and I would have my iThlete sheet and be like, all right, hey, I know these guys are coming in. Hey, I have the week trend, the day trend, and the month trend. And then I could talk to you about it. So the player couldn't really fudge it if they didn't do it, but they could fudge it by like, all right, let's say, if you guys knew that we would adjust everything based off of your iThlete score, you, Tyler Kluver, could be like, well, here's a great idea. I'm going to stay up late. I'm not going to eat right. I'm going to go to bed at 1. I'll wake up at 6. I'll have awful numbers and they won't let me train because my iThlete is down.
You're just describing my freshman year.
But like, So what we didn't do is we weren't like, oh, your iFleet numbers are low, you're not training for the day. We started the conversation and that's where we would go with it. And yeah, there was very few times, if it was like a Josie Jewell, somebody that, you know, actually we know like, hey, something's going on with this person, we'll adjust their training to keep them on the field. But that's how we would go about doing it. And we'd also measure readiness by vertical jump numbers. And sure, you could fudge it if you wanted, but like when you have a room full of guys are like, come on, jump high. Like it's harder to fudge.
Yeah. Do you guys ever, this brings up something I think that's, I don't know, I've seen it several places. Do you guys ever consider like grip strength as a, I've seen that grip strength is a really, really good indicator of how recovered you are.
I've seen it too. I think we talked about it, but trying to then just come up with like the consistent way of
versus you have to go versus your own personal baseline, obviously.
Correct. And that's just like any of them. It, you're looking at how reliable and valid is it. So is it repeatable? What's your device? How are you able to calibrate it?
Yeah.
How scalable is it? And then also, yeah, are you getting what you want out of it? And it'd be like, you know, could you add that to everything else? Cause you can't give everybody a hand dynamometer. You could ask them to do it when they first come in. What happens if somebody's hurt? Now you can't ask them to do it. And so it's like, hey, you could do it. And so if anybody is doing it because they don't have the finances and they're able to purchase one of these and before the players train, they do it, like, cool, more power to you.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to scale it where each athlete has this device, I heard through some of the assist, I heard a couple years ago, I heard from an assistant coach inside the program that they were tracking sleep because they used to talk about that in team meetings. So they eventually were tracking sleep. And the players, you know, it's no different than just like we talked about Dunker with his sports bra, like just continuing to measure things. And anybody listening to it, we use it as a dashboard and think about it the same dashboard when you're driving your car. When you go to work, you don't really look at it. When you're going to your parents' house or restaurant or wherever, a normal ride, you don't have to look at your speed. You know what you're going. You're almost an autopilot. And that's what you do with the GPS. Yep, cool. We know what we're doing. Like you make sure you're not being a jack wagon and you go. But when you do something brand new, you're taking a road trip. If somebody's going to road trip to the UCLA Rose Bowl game, they're going to plug in their GPS. They're going to be looking forward. Am I speeding? Like, and it helps you analyze how you drive. That's all we're doing with the data is we're analyzing and figuring out how we're driving and taking care of the athletes.
The yeah. So for the question asker there, whoever that was, what that looks like for the athlete is exactly, you know, he kind of described how you would take it. It did eventually when I got onto it, which was probably 2015, because they put the important players on it first. And that just is reality. Like there's important might be a brash way of putting it, but they put the guys who were playing a lot of reps and that were more reliable as test subjects. Because let's be honest, like when you guys are running these little, I mean, you guys had basically, you didn't have like Stanford level funding to do all these tests, but I say Stanford just because they run a lot of like scientific tests, but like you had a, like we said, there was a pretty good budget to buy certain things or, and so on a team wide level, you guys could kind of run your own studies on, hey, let's try a new piece of equipment. Let's try a new software. Let's try this. And we can take a number of subjects from the team and try and like create our own little study here. It started with like, I don't know, 20 players. And then you guys were able to like collect data and refine it a little bit and make it better and find out how you guys could use it more. And then you got eventually more funding, you got more units. So eventually we would connect to, every player had an iPad on the team, and the iPad had like a general like team app on it where you could like open and find your schedule. And it had the film app on it. You could watch your film. And then eventually it had like iFleet, the app loaded onto it. So this was like a one-stop, it was like your little tablet that you took around with you everywhere. And what you would do as an athlete is like, I go to bed at night and the iPad would just sit on my bedside table. And in the morning, alarm goes off. You set the alarm for 5 minutes sooner than you want to. You roll over, you grab the iFleet's heart rate strap that's on the, it's basically sitting right there on the iPad. You throw it around you. You close your eyes again.
Hope you don't fall back asleep.
Yeah, you open the, which I did several times. You open the iFleet software, you start the reading, and then you have to just like lay there for 60 seconds. I liked it because I'm a nerd. I'm now doing a podcast about this 10 years later. So obviously I like this stuff. So I would then sit there and try to do like box breathing or do my best to like, I'm going to get the best number today. Like today's the day I'm getting 100. You fucking watch me. Just like, and inevitably 67 orange. Turns out not recovered. I suck. Heart rate. And then you'd like take the strap off, put the iPad down and you'd walk out and go to the complex, but you literally lay there in bed with a heart rate strap on. I think early on you guys, like 2014, maybe even 2013, you guys had like, it was like a little wristband that you guys were wearing. What was it? Was it like the original Whoop?
Might have been.
The OG Whoop, the first ever rendition of Whoop. And you guys had like 10 of them.
Yep.
And I remember like Vandenberg had one. There was a couple guys. And then I think you guys went away from that. You kind of found iFleet or whatever. But I remember like a wristband originally.
Yeah, I remember that too. And that's why as the technology gets better, like if you guys will just wear those things, now you don't have to because it'll do the continuous monitoring right for you. Yep. And like for me personally, I have a tattooed wedding ring because I don't really like wearing it. I'll wear it, but I don't want to be the guy that wears a ring, takes it off, and then there's nothing there. So that's why I got tattooed. I don't sleep with a watch on, so I don't want anything like that. Yeah. So like, hopefully if the players ever felt that way, they could have the ability to get other companies nowadays. They have like a little pad that you can put under your bed so that way you can measure it that way. The first thing that I do, or not first thing, I should have said this earlier, you always want to be asking the proper research question. Like you want to do this with what are we trying to solve? Because if there's no problem with your sleep, you don't want to just do this to do it. Like if you see that athletes are not recovered or that there's issues, this soft tissue injuries. Well, okay. Like we said, recovery last week, we talked about it. Recovery is simple. Eat and sleep. If your athletes are having a hard time with sleep, whatever you measure, you're going to improve. I have a high school athlete that I'm working with right now.
Is that the Hawthorne effect?
Correct. Like what gets measured improves. So this high school kid, he's feeling dead in his legs when he's doing his races. I was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Track your sleep when you go to bed. He's like, oh, I have a Garmin watch. Cool. Send me that data. Let's start tracking your nutrition. And he sent it to me. You guys used to write it down, right? You remember your nutrition logs, the 3-day logs?
Bullshit.
I use my fitness pal now. So he can just send it to me.
You're just like me with my clients, my training clients.
And it's like, all right, dude, you say you're eating a lot, but you're just not.
Yeah.
Like it really is that simple.
Yeah.
And so like, that's why anybody listening, like if you're sleeping fine, you don't need to go get something to track your sleep. If you have an Apple Watch, use that.
Cause it'll tell you HRV. Could be detrimental even.
It messed me up. I swear. So I bought an Oura Ring to compare Oura Ring to the company that I work with, SleepMe, to compare their trackers. Cause I was like, I'm going to be a nerd again. Oh, yep. I'm such a good sleeper. Let me show everybody how good I am.
I'm the best sleeper.
And it was showing me like not recovered, no deep sleep. And I'm waking up feeling good.
Yeah.
And these numbers are telling me like, you're not recovered. You feel like shit. And I was like, fuck this thing. I sent the Oura Ring back. I gave the fucking sleep pad to a colleague. I was like, I'm not using it.
Yeah.
I'm not using it.
Because we have this like inclination to trust the technology, right? Like I bought this thing. I invested in it. There's all this advertising about how great Oura Ring is and how great this thing tracks my stuff. So if it's telling me I'm not recovered, I must not be recovered then, right? But like, somebody like you, who's like pretty in tune with their body, have worked out a lot. You're an athlete. You've done a lot of tracking, a lot. You know when you perform well and how you feel versus when you don't perform well and how you feel on those days. You're like, I don't believe this. And then it starts to psychologically mess with you. You're like,
I believe it?
There's a lot of people who, like, I've heard they'll get a sleep tracker and they're doing okay and they have okay sleep and they want to see, you know, they want to put some numbers on it. Then they get it. They start getting the data and they'll like wake up in the middle of the night and they're sitting there laying awake at 2:30 in the morning, thinking about how their sleep score is not going to be good. And it's like, it's a self-deprecating cycle. It's like, oh God, this is, it'll hurt people. Which brings me to a good question about, and this sort of came up with all the, this was a minor topic when, the players came out with the racial stuff with Doyle and a bunch of the stuff about how they were tracking, like tracking sleep was part of that. a small part. I don't know how much you read into that, but some of the guys' complaints were like, they were like tracking our sleep and they were too invasive into our personal lives and all this stuff, which I've come out and said like is bullshit. Like these, it was very clearly, we're just trying to like help and stuff, but you know, it was part of the complaints. Huh. But there is maybe a question about how deep and invasive do you want to go on an athlete's life? And like on the personal side, because now you start to track their sleep, or you're able to see their sleep data, or you're able to see some other things about when they're away from the complex, and they start to feel like their personal space is sort of being invaded. Like, I want to be a college student. I want to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, but I don't want the coaches to like see that and like say something about it on Monday morning. Where do you think the balance is there?
I mean, nobody asked the guys to wear the monitors on the weekend. And maybe I'm wrong. I do remember there was always a three, like we always said 90%. So if a month had 30 days, it'd be like, hey, 3 days, you didn't have to take it. But at the same time, you didn't need, like, that's where it's like, all right, if we're not going to train, we can't ask you to do it. Thinking about if you just expand the care of stuff. So if you're not doing it on the weekends and you're asking the athletes to do it and you make it an opt-in thing, sure. Like, okay, if somebody wants to make that big of a fit, like, hey, I don't want to wear this thing because I'm sleeping at my girlfriend's house. So I have all these different things. Like, okay, you know what? Like, I can't now we're going to make it a bigger deal than it has to be. I'm trying to help you and I'm trying to provide you a tool, because I would almost want the same thing. If me, Justin Lima, is the athlete at Iowa, and I'm like, hey, coaches, this thing is literally making me sleep worse.
Yeah.
I don't even like sleeping with clothes on, let alone a watch or something. Please, I don't want it. I would want the ability to not have to wear it. Yeah. So I hear that, but at the same time, that's not the majority. So it's hard to make a rule for the majority off of a group of people that might not want to, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you could say the same thing that like your body weight, you could say that your
food that they serve you, like, oh,
you
they're
could
trying
say
to
the
make
food. You could say like the, you, but your weight, you could say that like, oh, the
body weight was contentious too.
Body weight. But you could say the weight on the barbell, weight on the barbell is going to expose who I am, because if you're not eating and you're not sleeping and you're stressed out, here's the thing. 135 is 135. 60% of your 1RM is 60% of your 1RM.
Yep.
So whatever you're doing away from this facility will show up. So it doesn't matter what thing you want to nitpick at. People will start to be able to see. We talked about it in one of the earlier episodes. Hey, if you're not in your routine, it's noticeable. People will notice how you act. Like, so it's just,
that's actually a really funny idea for like a skit of like all the ways that like Division I athletes could try to like complain. It's like coach is picking on me because he's making me do a back squat and I can't do 405 like the rest of my teammates.
It's like, nobody asked you to do 405. We asked you to do your I can't squat. DeMarco did 500 pound back squat for 50 days, 40 days. One of the two, like it was a thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I wanted to participate, but I can't back squat 500.
Yeah.
So mine was a minimum of you're going to do 5 plates. I'm going to do 4 plates. Yeah. Right. Like, and when we would train hard, sure, I can ask you, Tyler Kluver, to do 50% of your 1RM with bands. I'm going to do 50% of my, like, it's never Josh Jackson. You're going to sprint faster than me, but guess what? I'm still going to do fly tens. I'm still going to work on my max velo work. You know,
you're going to get exposed if you enter an environment like a D1 sports program. Like, the point of it, almost at its base, is to expose you so that you can work on,
so you can help, or so you don't hurt. It is that simple, because at the end, like, I used to talk about this with the guys at Towson when it was me and I had the voice. I was like, listen, one of my quotes was, we're not invading Normandy. One of the days when like the team was looking really sluggish on a conditioning session.
Yeah.
They're all lying. I was like, what the? Like, you know, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
But guys, it's college football. Like, we're keeping track of scores. You're getting to go to school for free. You're getting it's now quid pro quo. Here's this, do this. Because out in the real world, that's how it works. If you don't do something, you need to go and perform. And we're trying to make sure, playing Ohio State this week, you're playing against a formidable opponent, you're playing whoever, you need to make sure that we're dialed in so we can win the game. Because like,
it's almost like sometimes, guys, you get lulled into like, oh, this is, I'm just, this is my routine. I'm on the team. I go to practice. We go lift weights. And you don't sort of realize the underlying premise is like, what you signed up for is inherently hard. Like, it's supposed to be difficult. Often, if not every day, you're going to feel pushback from the structure that you are you've been placed in. It's not like going to be easy, and that's for a purpose. Like you said, we barely talk about Ohio State. We're going to play Ohio at the time of listening to this. We're playing Ohio State tomorrow. They're one of the best teams in the country. Urban Meyer's talking about like this could be the greatest roster ever assembled as far as like talent wise with the recruiting classes that they've had. It's going to be difficult to beat them.
Yeah. Like,
so like probably want to expose yourself to a couple difficult training scenarios or difficult disciplines and routines in your everyday life within the program so that when you get to 3rd and 6 and they're driving to try and score a touchdown, like Jay Higgins doesn't like fold when somebody comes through the B gap to block him. Like it's, you know, it's set up so that, yeah, I mean, and some, it is crazy. It sounds dumb when you put it like that on a podcast, but for those listening, you would be surprised at how many of my teammates would just lollygag through a day and expect things to be easier or given to them or stuff, you know.
Here's the thing. It's not just you're like, it wasn't kids that you played with kids that I coached there. It was at Towson. It's at the high school that I'm at now. It's the high school I was at in the summer. It's everywhere. It's, and that's what you, as a coach, you talk about there's the bell curve, right? There's thirds or a matrix. It's quarters. But like realistically, you have a group of kids that will do anything you ask them to do, and they will never tell you that it's hard. You can't take their word at it because it's like, well, shit, you're going to tell me like...
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Correct. Josie Jewell, you put him in any conditioning and he's like, I'm good.
But if he says like, shit, I'm sore, you're like, okay, now we have an idea.
Yeah.
You then pull the bottom third.
Small group at the top.
Same at the bottom of anything you say and do, they're going to say it sucks and it's hard.
Yeah.
You also can't take their opinion overly, but you do still pull them all. So you know everything.
Yeah.
And then even when they're like, no, coach, this is easy, you're like, bah, bingo. Like, so you have them. And then it's the middle group that you're trying to push and you want to move that middle third as far as you can. And sometimes it's from teammates. Sometimes it's from parents. Rob Ambrose, the guy that I work with at Towson for 5.5 years, I loved one of his quotes was, he goes, sometimes our job as coaches is to kick the apple as far away from the tree as possible.
True. Damn, that's good.
Right?
That might be the title of the episode. It's true. It's true. There's a lot of nurture that needs to take place, needs to take place, because the nurture that they've got combined with the nature that they've got is just not quite the right formula to that point.
Because what we're doing is we expose them. And I remember Cody specifically talked about this one day when we were reading Captain's Class, which I'm reading Captain's Class again with some Strength Coach Network members right now. And Cody was like, listen, like, we didn't make Josie Jewell. Josie's parents made Josie, right? And like raised them the right way. And then we just happened to incubate him and expose who he was and help him. And yeah, like, you refine him, but like a guy like that, or these Jay Higgins, who I haven't had the ability to work with in these linebacking groups, these people that have been talked about for a while, they come in with a high potential and then you just help chip it away and you help them develop and become what they do. That's what coaches do, right?
Yeah.
Coaches can't coach without athletes because the athletes aren't there to play. Well, athletes, are you really able to get the most out of you without a coach and a mentor? And chances are the answer is no. And we help refine and do things to help them achieve that level of success. And that's why it's a symbiotic relationship. Like, it can't be one without the other. It's not one or the other.
Yeah. I think it's so, so true that something like a Division I sports program is all it does is it's kind of like fame and money. Like, fame and money, just in general, like in general society, will pretty much just expose who you are as a person.
Yep.
It's not going to change you.
Nope.
It's just
we talked about that in the Slight Edge.
Yeah. Same with the Division I program. Like who you are as a person in regards to your work ethic and how much you care and your discipline and how focused you can be and how good of a teammate you are, all these things. A Division I program is going to expose, it's going to strip down all of the BS away and get down to the core principles and really show you where you're at in each of those traits. It's probably not going to you guys as coaches, the program itself is probably not going to make a bunch of James Morris's. I actually think that like if there was anything close, and this is probably just bias, but like I am probably an example of about as much as you can change in a person. I would say like when I came in, I was about as far away from like what you're looking for in a leader, teammate, discipline, like all those things. And I feel like by senior year, I actually had like nailed down a lot of what you're looking for. But I think it was in there. It just took 5 years to expose it.
Well, the Hawkeye Championship exposes it because you can start to think of like, and I know it because I ran the program the entire time I was there.
We're going to do a whole episode on it. Sometime.
Kittle's name being at the top, he was too small to be a tight end when he first got there, but too slow to be a wide receiver.
Yep.
And then eventually grew into his body and figured things out. Josh Jackson used to be at the bottom of the list and wound up winning the whole damn thing because he turned it all around.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where it's, you're in this environment to help, like that, at the end of the day, it is to help, yes, win games, but also to help change kids' lives because our lives were positively changed as coaches too. So it's like you see when you're detached, and anybody listening to this, think about a time that a friend or a family member was in a bad relationship. You're like, why are you still dating them? And you're like, I can see it because I'm detached.
Yep.
That's all we're doing. We're older brothers. Like that's what my position was I'm an older brother and I'm detached and I'm trying to help you change. And you have to, at the end of the day though, you guys have to do it, right?
Yeah. Like
Josh didn't do what Josh did and Kittle and you and anybody that changed because we did it. You made a conscious choice to finally do the things that everybody's asking you to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Hopefully we can change some lives tomorrow as you're listening to this, some Buckeyes lives.
I got a good, like, I'm feeling good about it, but at the end, like, you know, it doesn't mean anything, but like, I know what they're going through in the lock. Like they're geared up for it. Like they're going on the road.
Big game. There's nothing to lose.
Dude, I still remember when Hooker first play of the game picked six.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so do I. I was like, fuck, I got to snap this ball now. Because when we get on defense, granted, Ohio State, we were kind of ready for them to score quick, and they did the next couple series. But I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm good for like 5-10 minutes. I can sit down, put the helmet on the bench. Nope. I'm watching the first play. Hooker jumps it. Okay, grab my helmet. He's not even in the end zone yet. I'm putting on my helmet, running out there. All right, somebody get me a ball. I need a snap. Made it through this podcast, longest 5-10-5 yet, 43 minutes, and I didn't get sick. I didn't throw up. Proud of myself.
There you go.
But my ego is still pretty bruised. Thanks, Nick DeMarco. We will talk to you guys next week. Man, would it be great to add a little Hawkeye win in the shoe? That would be great. We'll see what the boys can do tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.